This morning, oh God. Father, we want to also pray and we want to continue praying, Father, as we know that Sophia, she'll be leaving to Jamaica for the funeral of her sister, but we want to just to pray for her. The Lord will protect her and bring her there. There's so many others that we need to pray for today. Lord, we're depending on you to do that work, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. What a wonderful presence of God in this place this morning. Amen. Are you testifying that with me this morning? Isn't there a wonderful presence of God in this place? Amen. When the goodness of God comes upon His people, great things happen. When the anointing of God comes upon His people, greater things happen. When the power of God is upon people, lives are changed and transformed. Amen. It's great to see you this morning in the house of God once again. And there, like we've just shared so many announcements, we want to also continue praying for Sophia and her family, the loss of her sister. We want them to pray that they're going to Jamaica. Also pray for me that I'll be leaving, going to Montreal this week. Leaving from Thursday morning to next Tuesday. I have a conference that I'll be speaking for three nights there. So I just encourage you to pray for me and God just move upon that church. It is a Nazarene church and calling a Pentecostal preacher. That's pretty good, that means. Nazarene church is conservative and calling a Pentecostal preacher. I don't know what's going to happen, but the Lord knows what's going to happen. Amen. If they had called, they have put their name, my name on their heart, God knows why. Amen. So this morning I want to continue the series on the teachings of Jesus, and it's a very well-known story called The Midnight Friend. We all know that story with the three loaves of bread, and they went to knock on the door. We all know that story, but today I want to bring it out in a different way, and I just pray that the way, not changing the words of God, but going through the scriptures verse per verse and try to take out the key words that is good for us to understand and how to continue doing the things of God and how to maintaining our faith and how to maintain and continue praying and believing in an awesome big God. So years ago, when I was managing in a company, I had an office, and every so often, a lot of people came to knock at the door, on my door, and to come in and ask me for something. But I had the ability to discern those knocks. And I would often tell who was the person behind that door, who that person was, just by their knocks on the door. And I think some of us know some of those knocks on the door. We have heard it many times. There's different kinds of knocks on the door. Some knocking with authority. And they come in, oh, I need to talk to you. And then some other knocks were like, it's like the knock is like, I know you're busy, but can I come in? And the other one is, it'll only be a second. I'm coming in now. It'll only be a second. And then the other three slow knocks is, it's like that person behind that door says, I want to come in, but I don't want to disturb you. I know you're busy. And then you have even the other knock, and they just come in. You ever get those experiences, all those different knocks? So all those times I realized that those knocks, I knew who it was behind the door. I have to confess, even not too long ago, there was missing some candies inside those welcome packages. There was missing some candies, and there was missing popsicles downstairs. But I had not realized that these children were coming up to me and basically pulling me and getting my attention, and they said, can I have some candies? And I said, yes, sure, Ed, go get some candies. And can I have some popsicle? Yes. But I never knew that they went inside the welcome package and steal those candies. But they knew who I was. They knew who I was, so they came up to me and say, they probably said, this is a bald pastor, or, you know, or he's our pastor that yells all the time. Or I can go to him and see, and he can help me. So The way these children viewed me, it determines the way they approach me. They saw a pastor, a bald pastor, said, oh, I can approach him and get what I want. And that's the way they've seen me as. Do you know that's the exact same way that we approach God? It's the way you approach Him. It's the way you view Him, and you're going to approach Him. If you view Him as a God who is a busy God, you're not going to get much. But if you view Him that is a God who is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long, all your life, is that's the way you're going to determine to see Him. It's always how you view to see God. So this morning we're going to look in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13 this morning. May the Lord add another blessing on His word upon our lives this morning so we can learn once again. I'll be reading it saying, He also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at a midnight and says to him, friend, lend me the 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on the journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. Then he will answer from inside and say, don't bother me, the door's already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up and to give you anything. I tell you, even though he won't get up, give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his friend's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So, verse 9, I say to you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Let's look at it later on. We're going to see in the last verse, the Holy Spirit who ask Him. The way we view God determines the way in which we approach Him. And there is no place in which is evident in the life, in the prayer life. And if the prayer life is a problem, it's because oftentimes is the way in which we view God. It is the way in which we view God will determine the way we're going to approach God in prayer. And that's what makes the prayer of Jesus so shocking to everyone who heard them. Jesus came into the scene to a day with the religious institution believed that God was distant. He was unconcerned. He was uninvolved. He was basic things and simple things of life. And in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus exposes the prayer to the Gentiles and to the Pharisees, to those people only prayed not for God. They just wanted to impress people how religious they were. In Matthew 6, we see the Gentiles prayed thinking that if they might have been heard with their long sentences and beautiful, elegant words, maybe they were going to say, use those long sentences and elegant words and look religious. Maybe God will hear them. But the Pharisees did not pray to God at all. They just prayed so people would hear them. They stood on the street corner and prayed so loud so they can impress people. And I remember when I was a little bit younger in my Christian life, when I was going to church, I would see hear a brother pray nice words, and then you see the other brother praying louder and better words in the sky, and then this other brother going louder, and it was like a competition in the church who prays louder and louder with elegant words, and it didn't make any sense. And this is like the Pharisees and the Gentiles. They're praying in the street corner to make everybody see they're religious. But it's not that what God is looking for. God's not looking for religious people. God's looking for people who have this intimate relationship with Him. And this morning, I want to show you through the scriptures this morning the way how we should approach God and how should we approach God in prayer. I recall, like we said, Here we go back to the story. Let's look at this for a moment. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. He was praying in a certain place. I'm going to give you a little history before we go into the verses 5 and on. He was praying into a certain place, and when he has finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John has taught his disciples." The request was here, "Lord, teach us how to pray." He didn't say, "Teach us how to preach," or "Teach us how to cast out evil spirits," or "Teach us how to lay hands on people." He says, "Lord, teach us how to pray," the importance of prayer. He starts off by giving them the Lord's Prayer. If we look in verses 2-4, he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come.'" This prayer was to give us a model to follow. And let me explain, he did not give us that model so we can repeat it over and over again. He gave us this as a temple so how we can pray. Our Father in heaven is a relationship. Hallowed be your name is when you worship with God. Your kingdom come is a lordship. Give us your daily bread is sonship. So right after the Lord's Prayer, he goes straight into the story in verses 5 to 6, we read just a couple of minutes ago. Then verse 5 and 6, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.'" So this is what happened in the middle of the night. It was so humid, hot. He walked on foot and traveled by night, because in the day it was very hot. So he walked by night and traveled by night. He wanted to visit his friend. Walked all night. He might have been so tired of the heat all day. And he got to destination. He was hungry, and he gets to this destination and needed a place to rest. So he went to visit his friend. There's a reason why he went to visit his friend's house, his friend. Let me explain. He could have went to a motel. And in those times, there was places of all rooms and motels. If you look and pay attention here, even in the city and all over the world, you'll see some motels with a flickering light going on and off. And you don't dare even to get close to that motel, because you don't know what's going to happen in that motel. So you go to this person, instead of going to that motel. Let me tell you something. We don't want anybody to see you going to that motel and coming out of that night, because something is wrong. So, you know, that person said, "Let me go to my friend's house instead of hanging out at a motel, because my friend will open his door. It's not good to go hang out at a motel." So he says he goes out to his friend's house. He goes to his friend's house and goes and knock there. And however, they practiced hospitality. They did not need a motel, because there was a friend who would open the door for him at that particular time. They came and knocked on the door's friend and says, "I need a place to stay, a place to eat, a place to take a rest this morning, this evening." It was approximately midnight. So this is what happened. The friend knocked on the door. They opened. They went down and they sat down and seen that all is happy. And all of a sudden, he was probably giving him something to drink. All of a sudden, he seen there was no more bread to give his friend. At that particular time and moment, they used to purchase bread every single day, not the way we do it today. We purchase one time, it's good for a whole week. We freeze it and leave it for a month in our freezer. But that particular time, day after day, they had to buy bread. So all of a sudden, he went there, there's no more bread. But he says, "No, I have a friend. I have a friend that I'm going to knock on his door. And when I knock on his door, he will open his door. He's going to give me some food, and I'll come back and serve you." Now, how many of us have this friend? A friend that you know is there for 24 hours. Do you have a friend like that? Do we really have a friend like that? But are you really going to go at midnight or 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and knock on his door and say, "Can I have a piece of bread today?" I don't think you do that. You probably wait for 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning and say, "I need some bread." But not at midnight. No person will do that. We all have a friend. I like that friend that has, I have my cell phone right on my counter near, on my night table, and all of a sudden 1 o'clock comes, and a phone rings, and I pick up. We all like a friend like that. But in reality, not everybody has a friend like that. You're going to see something through the scriptures here, and we always thought the friend was you and I, but the friend is Jesus himself.
The friend in that house behind that door is Jesus himself. He is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long. You can knock on his door and not be afraid and not be ashamed, because I can tell you one thing, that he will open the door, because it tells us in the scriptures, if you knock, the door shall be opened. That's the promise of God. I'm just starting here. I'm starting pulling a sweat now. But I'm getting there. Verse 7. Suppose the one inside, he answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." Look at this. Man, I can open the door, but my children? Don't wake up my children. Mothers, you don't want your children to wake up at 2 in the morning, huh? You do. It took me hours to put them to bed, and now you're going to knock on the door. Shh. Don't wake up my kids. I need to sleep. He says, don't bother me. Don't bother me. My children will wake up. Oh, mothers experience that all the time, huh? You take your children. It's 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and all of a sudden you're exhausted. And you take them and you put them in that crib, and all of a sudden you turn. Jesus. It squeaks, and all of a sudden the kids start to cry, and the mother starts to pull her hair and says, enough is enough. So let's not beat up this guy. This guy was right. He said, please don't bother me. I don't want to wake up my kids. And all of us can understand that. All of us can understand that, and many of us have experienced that. So the question is in verse 5. Which of you would do that? I believe none of you would knock on the door at midnight. And even myself, for a piece of bread. Why does he tell us this story? Because Jesus knows that if we view God, the Father, like the midnight friend, you're never going to go to God and ask for anything. If you think God is not available for you, you will never go to him in the middle of the night for a piece of bread. Jesus knew that is exactly the way they viewed God. And Jesus tells him this story and gives him three practical applications that I want to get with you this morning. Not only what to pray for, but how to pray for. Verse 8 and 9 in chapter 11, he says, I tell you. And then in verse 9, he says, so I tell you. He repeats it twice. I tell you, and I'm going to tell you again. I'm not just telling you what to pray, but I'm telling you how to pray. And in verse 8, it tells us, I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his friend's persistence. Now, in this year, word persistence, many scholars say it was, he knocked on the door with shamelessness, unashamed. He was not ashamed to ask for a piece of bread. He went there and asked, not with persistence, but unashamed, going to that door, that I am not ashamed because he is my friend and I know my friend will help me. He was unashamed to go to see his friend. Why is he saying that? The reason why this man got three loaves of bread is because he kept on knocking and kept on knocking because he was willing to knock and ask for bread. If you're willing to knock and ask for something, the door will be opened. The door will be opened. There's no magic things in this year for God to answer a prayer. The only thing that we need to do is just to knock. And when you knock, be unashamed and ask God whatever you need. And God will respond to it because we are the children of God. We are his children. Amen. I pray that you are with me this morning. I pray that you're not getting confused this morning. I pray that you pay attention here this morning, because there's something amazing what God is trying to show us here. So the first point that I want to bring out is, you pray with unashamed boldness. That's the point of the story. Don't be ashamed to ask. Come in. Don't be ashamed. Come with boldness and ask Lord. Ask God. The people of God, don't approach God with your head down, but lift up your head. Because in Hebrews it tells us, therefore let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. And once you approach the throne of God with boldness, don't go to God and view God that he's not going to answer. And you, oh, can I help? Can you help me, Jesus? boldness, unashamed, go to Him and say, I need you, Lord. Not being afraid, not being ashamed of what you're asking for, of what you're searching for in your life, in your family's life, in your children's life, going and praying with unashamed boldness. Boldness, go directly to a palace and go directly to the king. We see can you see that the king is there and you see his servants going to go there? No, it won't happen. But it broke that because Jesus had died on the cross for you and I, and we are his children. We are his sons and daughters. So he says, approach the throne with boldness. And when you approach with boldness, with persistence, unashamed, great things happen. Let's not be ashamed, but go with boldness to the Lord and ask for anything. In verse 9 it says, so I say to you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open. Jesus gives three commands and three ongoing commands. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And all three commands are three promises right here. It says, once you ask, he will respond. Once you seek, you will find. Once you knock, the door will be open. If there's someone behind that door, and you knock once, and you knock twice, and you knock three times, I guarantee you that door will be open. Whatever it is, you might be happy or not, but that knock will make that door open. When you knock on the door in the heart of Jesus, when you knock on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you knock on the one who has created you, I guarantee you, not because I'm saying, because the Word of God is saying, He will open that door. Do you believe that this morning? The first statement is that was not about perseverance, but the statement is clearly asking for persistence. Don't go to God with unashamed boldness. Go to God, pray with unashamed boldness. And the second thing that I want to bring with you this morning is pray with unwavering persistence. I think of this word persistence. I remember when my children were younger and we used to go to Walmart or whatever store it was, and they used to persist and put stuff in that carriage one time and two time, and I used to remove it and put it another time and another time. They were just persistent until I got so tired and I gave them what they wanted. I think many of us have experienced the same thing. But those children have demonstrated one thing to us: persistence. Keep on going. All kids' mind is so intelligent and so smart, and I pray at times we should become like children and be persistent in the things of God. Don't you give up once. Don't you give up the second time. Don't you give up the third time, the fourth time, and you will see that one day God will respond to that persistence. It's not going to be nagging. Or we're nagging to God. No, we are His children. And He wants to see if we're really serious business people. God doesn't want to hurt us. God does not want to destroy us. God wants us to seek His face. And once you seek Him, He will respond to you. And this is what's happening in the church. We seek the face of God. We seek the power of God. We're knocking on the heart of Christ, and He responds to us with the Holy Spirit and the power of God upon the life of the people. If we have to be scared to ask, there's a problem. Let's not be afraid to ask God for anything. We are His children. He says, pray with unwavering persistence. In 1 Thessalonians 5, pray constantly, pray without ceasing, unashamed, unwavering persistence. This is how we should pray. And I know when we talk about prayer, people don't like the word prayer because it's a struggle to pray. Come on, brothers and sisters, children of God, it is only prayer that changes lives. It is only prayer that transforms the heart of people. It is only prayer that keeps us the connection with our Heavenly Father. You're communicating with God daily. We should not be afraid. So when the church says there's a prayer service, we should run to that place and expect great things from God.
But God put on my heart to do this prayer from 6 at night to 6 in the morning. I know some of you might not come at 6, but if you do come, you can come at 1, you can come at 2 in the morning, you can come at 3 in the morning, but I can guarantee you one thing. If you just sacrifice that 12 hours in the presence of the Lord and in prayer, God will respond. The life of prayer. When you come, you ask with unwavering persistence until He opens that door and responds to you. Jesus brings out this in verse 11. He says, "What father among you, if his sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or he asks for an egg and will give him a scorpion?" He brings out two, the most feared things in this verse, a snake and a scorpion. And at that time, the doors were open to the home because it was hot, so the wind had to come in. So snakes came in, scorpions came in, and the father did everything in his power to protect their children from being bitten or being whatever from the snake or the scorpion here. What good father is going to allow the snake and give it to the son? Come on. If you're a good father, I don't think you'd do that. You're not going to give him, "Here's a scorpion. You just chew on this scorpion. It's a bit crunchy, but you'll eat the scorpion. You'll be okay when it's over." I don't think any dad would do that. Any good father. Let me put that in. Any good father or dad would do that. So, look at this, what it says in verse 11. He asked for a fish, he will give him a snake? No. If he asks for fish, he will give him the fish. That's the father that we serve. That's a good father. No human father who loved his children would be uncaring as to give him a snake in the place of a fish or a scorpion in the place of an egg. And then verse 13. "Then if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children," here's the key, "how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" What He's saying this is this: the reason you're not praying, and the reason you're not boldly approaching the throne, and the reason why you're not coming coming back every moment of the day is because you have the wrong view of Me. You have the wrong view of God. And your view of Me will determine the way in which you approach Him. This entire story of the midnight friend is simple. He wants his disciples to know, and he wants us to know. He wants us to know that the God of the Father is our midnight friend. Don't you hear that, children of God? The God of the Father is the midnight friend for you and I. First of all, He is a Father. He loves you. He cares for you. And He has promised you that He will provide everything that you need. The reason which He is the Heavenly Father, and the reason because we are His child. It's because He gave His life, His own Son on the cross, to bring us into the family of God. He has adopted you and He has purchased you. He did not even spare His own Son, but offer Him as for all us all. How will He not also with Him grant us everything? It took the life of a Son to bring you into and to bring you here. He gave you, freely gave you all the things so you see Him for what He is. A Father who loves you, a Father who cares for you, a Father who provides for you in all times because He is available for you at all times. So God, for who He is, He's a perfect Heavenly Father. And listen, He is our midnight friend. He is the only one who says, He is the only one, "If you need anything, come to Me. I am here for you." New Hope Christian Assembly, for everyone who asks, receives. Those who knock, it will be open. Those who seek, it shall find. The Lord is waiting for you and I to talk to Him. He is the midnight friend. Don't worry about the door. Don't worry, just knock, because the door will be open. You don't need to wake up the door. You don't need to wake up the children of the children in your house, because we are His child.
Don't worry that you're going to wake him up. No, no, just knock on the door of God. Isn't so amazing? Millions of people at the same time calling upon the name of our Father, the name of Jesus, calling upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he responds to every single one of us. That's the good God that you and I serve today. What an amazing God. He has all the cries of the people. The cry of my heart, the cry of Grace, the cry of Eleanor, the cry of Joseph, the cry of Audrey, every one of us, as we cry together, the good Father in heaven, he responds to us because he loves his children. Don't view God that he's busy somewhere else. God is available for you the way he's available for me. He is the midnight friend. You knock at that door any time of the night. It's 4 a.m. this morning and I'm up. And I'm lying down on that bed just like this, my eyes open like an owl. And God just spoke to me, call on me. I can call on you at 4 a.m? Yes, I could. 24 hours a day, you can call on him. But if you don't call on him, the door will not be opened. And I want the door to be opened. I can tell you one thing, every one of us here, 99% of us, I can tell you this. If I tell you there's $5 billion somewhere in this place here, this rug will be off the ground. Because you're going to seek it, you're going to go search it, you're going to go pull everything out because there's $5 billion. But I can tell you something, there's something more better than $5 billion behind that door. And that is Jesus Christ. That is the one who responds. That is the one who gives the peace. That is the one who gives us that hope. That is the one who responds to the cries of the people. Once you're down on your knees, with tears down, he comes and wipes away those tears and gives you tears of joy. Isn't that an amazing God that we serve today? Just go and knock and run. Be persistent. Go unwavering before God and say, I need you, Lord. And need to be that prayer every day of your life. I need you, Lord, more than yesterday. I need you more every day of my life, Lord, because without you, I have nothing, Lord. Without you, I can't see beyond a foot, Lord. I need you, Lord, more than yesterday. Don't be afraid. Church, that's my encouragement to you this morning. Run. Persistence, knock, unwavering boldness, and ask God, and you'll see that he will respond. Look at the next verse. Get to the next verse for a moment here. You have the next slide, please? You know, Christmas time comes, not before that. Not the verse that you had before, please. Stop there for a moment. Look at this. If then you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? You know, my children, it was Christmas times. They used to ask me 4 months or 6 months or a year before, can I have this for a gift? And all of a sudden, Christmas comes, they open the gift, and there was socks or underwears. But I didn't ask for this, God. Dad, Mom, I didn't ask for socks. I'm happy, but I'm not too happy. How many of us experienced that? You wanted something, and all of a sudden, you get something else. Lord, I'm asking for something. I'm asking for to respond to a prayer of my healing. I know God can heal. I'm asking God that you can bless my family or help my children, that he can do that. But he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Because once you get the Holy Spirit, it's the whole complete package of everything, that we miss the point. The Holy Spirit is the most important thing of your life. Because once you have the Holy Spirit in your life, it's there 24 hours a day into your life because he resides in your heart. And I'd rather have the Holy Spirit first, because that Holy Spirit is going to make me overcome that sickness. That Holy Spirit is going to make me overcome when my children are suffering with something. That Holy Spirit is going to make me overcome when big situations at home, when storms come in my place, when storms comes in our homes, when storms comes in our churches. The Holy Spirit comes, and he comes and unites and gives us that hope to continue to seek the face of God daily. Hallelujah to the greatest Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the greatest Lamb of God. Yes, that is my prayer. Lord, more of your Holy Spirit upon my life today. More of you and less of the things of the world. More of you that will help me overcome situations. Do you remember that day? Some of us have experienced that day of sickness. And you prayed for healing and you did so. And it's great because it's biblical. The Bible does tell us to lay the hands on the sick and you shall recover. But you know what happened that day? The Holy Spirit has come into your life. And that Holy Spirit gave you another way to look at things of life. And made you overcome the situation you're going through. Lord, I need my bills to be paid now. I'm asking for that, but you're going to send me the Holy Spirit? My bills are hitting me like, I'm afraid even to turn because the mailman just puts bills in my mailbox. I'm afraid even to turn on my internet and look at my emails because the bills come gradually and fast. But Lord, I have all those bills, and you tell me that you're going to give me the Holy Spirit? Yes, because the Holy Spirit is going to give you the discernment how to overcome it. The Holy Spirit is going to give you that motivation to continue. Knock on a door, and you shall be open, and you have a job. The Holy Spirit is what you and I need today. More of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He gives us the peace and patience and the assurance. Man. Some of us go through the hardest times of life, and he gives us the patience to go overcome it. What an amazing God that we serve. The midnight friend is our Lord. You can go to him any time of the day, any time of the evening, any time of the year. He's there to respond to you. But the only way he's going to respond to you if you're a child of God, if you're adopted into the kingdom of God, if you're adopted into the family of God. People might say that, God hears to everybody. No, but God's going to hear for the one who is called the child of God and the one who has accepted Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as the personal Savior, now you have this ability to go to him and he will respond to you. But if you have not experienced Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can pray all you want. He's not going to respond to you. The only prayer that he's going to respond to you is the confession prayer. Let me ask you this morning, do you know God? God is not the father of all people, like I said. He is the father of the ones who are in the family. If you don't know him, I encourage you just to take a moment and reflect, examine your hearts. And say, you know something? I don't know really God. I don't know who Jesus really is, his son. And I want to know who he is. Maybe some of you have experienced Christ in your heart, and it's a long time that you haven't really spoken to him. And I encourage you to speak to him this morning and say, you know, forgive me, Lord. Please come back in my heart, in my life, in my situations, in my problems, in my family, in my children's life. Lord, come back. I need you more. Surrender to his lordship and then you will gain access to him and his door will be open. Do you know him this morning? Believers, do you trust him? Do you trust his heart? The one who has promised that he will never leave you or forsake you. The midnight friend. The heart of God wants you to bring everything to him this morning. Do you trust his heart this morning? New Hope Christian Assembly, don't carry your burdens alone. Bring it to the Heavenly Father. Knock on the heart of Christ and the door shall be open. And how long is it you have been since you talked with God? How long is it really that you have spent time with God? You really took the time and just spoke to him and hear him what he has to say for you. Come back to him. He's waiting for you. It is our move. It is your move to talk, to take this morning. Talk to him this morning. Don't be afraid of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't be afraid of the God who has created you, because that good Father has great things for his children this morning. Let us all stand for here this morning. And this, my prayer this morning is this for every single one of us, that we would just share this, put this in our heart, and just say, Lord,
I need you more. More than yesterday. I need you more. More than words can say. I need you more. More and more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. That's the God that you and I serve this morning. Friends, knock on that door with unwavering boldness. Knock on that door with persistence. Knock, because the door will be open. For anyone who asks receives. Those who knock, it will be open. Those who seek shall find.